Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
John Sauber, Sunday Daily Times. Hi, John. How you been?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. We've been expecting this, and there were only a couple of minor surprises in it, but what did you think of the media rights deal?
It wasn't overly surprising, right, because we've seen the reporting that ESPN and ABC were out of it. I think it's just, you know, it's funny. I don't watch games on TV anymore other than rewatching them later, and I usually have it muted for that. So it won't really impact me all that much. But from a fan's perspective, I would say, I think it'll be cool for fans to see these other broadcast teams, you know, and get the CBS broadcast. I love the CBS intro song, for one.
Yeah.
Having those potential whiteouts, on NBC on Sunday or on Saturday nights will be pretty cool to see. So I think it's just kind of different, right? I don't think it's necessarily better or worse. Obviously, the influx of cash will help every Big Ten program, but I think it's just kind of different, right? And I don't know that the positives or negatives in either direction are that heavy.
Yeah, Fox gets the first overall choice. You know, they'll pick Notre Dame, they'll pick Michigan, Ohio State. Then they start doing a draft after that. And so there's also Peacock involved for 8 games a year. Now, you would think to get the Peacock numbers up at some point for the, quote, good of the cause, some of the bigger names in the conference may have to have a game on there.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be a marquee game. But what do you think about the streaming element of it with 8 games a year?
Yeah, so I'm a Premier League soccer fan. I wake up on Saturdays and watch soccer on Peacock. And I get people's frustrations with it, right? It's just kind of complicating it a little bit more than maybe necessary. But I'll be curious to see what games go on Peacock. Like you said, you would think you would want some of the bigger name programs on there, but you're probably not going to put marquee games on there, so I'll be interested to see what balance they try to strike there. I think a lot of things are heading towards streaming anyways, and we've seen more and more sports go to stream only for games. We see baseball games on Friday nights on Apple TV, baseball games on Sunday mornings on Peacock, you know, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. So I kind of think it was inevitable that it would happen this way, and you know, Peacock's at least a little more accessible because you get a subscription with it. If you have, I think Comcast, you get Peacock for free with it. And there are other things like that, with other subscription services. But so it might be a little more accessible from that standpoint, not having to add on, you know, another bill to the streaming services or the cable bill, which is, I'm sure, for everyone, always expanding as things come out. But yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see the sort of transition that fans have to make to, you know, maybe finding a game at noon on Saturday on Peacock rather than just kind of having it there ready in your TV guide or what have you.
But in reality, that's not this contract. This is over-the-air Fox. It's over-the-air CBS. It's over-the-air NBC with a little, for example, CBS will simulcast on Paramount Plus.
Yep.
Any game NBC does will simulcast on Peacock. That's what interests me. This is an old-fashioned, for the most part, over-the-air network TV deal.
Yeah, and I think that was probably I don't know this to be clear, but I think that was probably a goal here, right? To make sure it was as accessible as possible, and to limit some of that Peacock only stuff, the streaming only stuff, because they want to make it as accessible as possible. And I know there are still plenty of people that don't have streaming services and don't want to make that switch and do those things. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think having it sort of the simulcast, like you mentioned, with CBS and Paramount Plus might be the way that we see these streaming services go, right? Because if you can tag along with a network, obviously CBS, Paramount Plus, I believe both owned by CBS Interactive, I think it is the right way to go to make sure you're hitting all key points of the audience, right? Everyone who switched to a streaming service has access and doesn't have cable. Everyone who just has cable has access, and you're kind of maximizing the eyeballs you get at that point.
All right. So, based on what you've been able to do, when you talk to people and so forth, how have you, what kind of read do you have on Penn State in the preseason?
I think this defense is going to be really good. I mean, I have a lot of faith and confidence in Manny Diaz as a defensive coordinator, right? I thought he was awesome at Miami. I think he's a great defensive coordinator, and you hear constantly about the turnovers being created. I know some will push back and say that that's going to be at the expense of big plays. I don't know that that has to be the case. It would definitely be the case at some point because it's inevitable, but I don't know that that has to be a case. And I think, you know, this defense is going to be sort of what dictates how good the team is. It's going to create a baseline for sure. We haven't done our predictions yet at the CDT, but I think I'm leaning somewhere in the 9-win range. And frankly, with how the offense performed last year, that's a step forward. And I think a lot of that is the defense and how good I expect it to be. And by the way, the upside with this team is inherently going to be with the offensive line. I think everyone knows that and how good it can be.
Sure.
But the defense is going to be what creates that baseline of, okay, they're going to be in almost every game, right? Like even if the team finishes 7-5 or 6-6, which I don't think will happen, I think you'd be hard pressed to find any game you didn't feel like they didn't have a chance of winning because the defense is so good and they're going to keep them in it. The secondary and the pass rush, especially, right, as the game moves more and more towards being pass heavy, having good corners, having good safety play, having a good pass rush is always going to keep you around. And I think they're going to have that. Manny Diaz's aggressiveness is going to help that in a big way. And offensively, like I said, it's the offensive line, right? If it's good, and James Franklin has kind of made a point not to sort of hype the offensive line up, and he said that's neither here nor there, right? It's not because he doesn't think it will be good or anything like that. It's just because he wants the offensive line to prove it. And if they do prove it, then the upside increases, right? Then 9 becomes 10 or 11, I think, for this team. And, you know, there's reason for optimism along the offensive line, but I think anyone who has sort of covered the team or followed the team in recent years, like, I think it's fair to be skeptical of that offensive line and sort of let them prove it. And if they prove it, the upside increases. And if they don't, I think that defense is going to be so good that they're going to have a baseline no matter what.
All right, so one of the main factors among those who are near the top in college football every year is they have depth. They're able to survive an injury here, somebody getting nicked up there that misses either extended games or a couple of games. Are you sensing from talking to the players, John, that this recruiting class they brought in has made a change in the depth of Penn State football?
I think so. I think it is. You know, it's rare that you get a, you know, not necessarily rare at the biggest programs in the country, the Ohio States, the Alabamas and whatnot, but I think it had been rare in sort of that next year program to get a class that can make that kind of impact that early. And I think Penn State has that, and sort of the gaps that you would have expected to see on the team are being filled by guys that are young, guys that are going to be at Penn State for at least another 2 seasons after this one, potentially, you know, 4 seasons after this one if they redshirt, right? Like these guys are ready to play. I mean, I heard Jair Brown say it time and time again at media days and post-practice availabilities that he's just wildly impressed with how physically imposing and strong and physically ready the freshman class is. And I think that's pretty much the case across the board, right? I think a lot of these guys are coming into spots where they're expecting to compete right away. They're not expecting to redshirt. Most of them will redshirt, and that's just sort of how it goes in college football. But I think a lot of them are coming in ready to compete and ready to push the guys ahead of them. And, you know, people will say that this is sort of like this is said all the time, but it's still true that the competition is only going to make the guys at the top better. And if they get beat out, they're getting beat out by someone better, right, and someone younger. And so I think that's only going to improve Penn State's roster, only going to improve the top, and maybe the fruits of this recruiting class aren't seen immediately, and you'll see some of it. I think Nick Singleton's probably going to have a pretty massive impact this year. But I think, you know, next year in 2024 too, like, you're going to see the fruits of this class, like, oh, wow, suddenly a bunch of guys are starting and contributing at a high level that are only sophomores, that are redshirt freshmen, that are redshirt sophomores. And you have a core of a team that can take that next step moving forward. And this is kind of their first year to show that they're ready to do it now, even if it's not ready to do it full-time right now.
Yeah, they don't have to do it 60 or 70 plays, but if you can mix guys in 10 to 25 plays during the course of the game, John. What does that do in the fourth quarter for the guys that you feel are your finishers?
Oh, exactly. It's enormous, right? Those guys are ready to go. They are, you know, it's easier to not be just exhausted, right? Because guys, especially when you play aggressively and when you play at a high pace like the offense will and aggressively like the defense will, it can get a little tiring, right? You can, especially along the lines, it can get a little exhausting. And you get to the fourth quarter and suddenly you're trying to catch your breath and trying to, you know, be at your best when maybe your best kind of isn't available because of that exhaustion. Well, now when you don't have to play as many snaps in the second and third quarter in the first quarter, suddenly you're playing like your third quarter self in the fourth quarter. And that is only going to help the veterans. It's only going to help the young guys improve. And like I said, maybe those guys that are originally playing those 15 to 20 snaps end up playing 50 to 60. And by the fourth quarter, they're the ones on the field because they've played so well, you know, in the first couple of quarters.
Obviously, one of the keys to all this, you've mentioned the offensive line and the guy they're protecting, and that is Sean Clifford. You know, we all know what year it is and so forth, and that, you know, the running joke Sean and I have is who's been here longer, him or me. Okay. All right. You know, what do you think about what he can accomplish if he gets that extra second?
So I think we could see the Sean Clifford that, and I know a lot of people will point to the Villanova game as his game, best game last year. I actually thought Auburn was a better game. He had one throw I know that was a little off that was almost intercepted, but Jahan Dotson did what he does and sort of snagged it out of thin air seemingly. But that Auburn game to me was his most impressive performance of the last couple of years. And I think if Penn State can get that consistently, right, where he's getting the ball to his playmakers, he's making quick decisions, but not rushed decisions, which I think last year times, they, especially in the second half of the season, they went from quick decisions and working through your progressions to rushed decisions, whether it's to leave the pocket or to, you know, to try and have to make something happen that maybe isn't there. I think that's the quarterback that Penn State needs, where he's reliable, he can get the ball to his playmakers, and he can orchestrate the offense. He doesn't have to be a playmaking quarterback. He's going to make some plays with his legs, because he's a really good athlete and really good running the ball. And I think that will benefit this offense greatly. But I think at the end of the day, he just has to get the ball to the guys that need it and that can really make those plays in space, the Parker Washingtons, the Mitch Tinsleys, even, you know, Nick Singleton, Kevon Lee, Theo Johnson, Brent Strange, the list goes on and on. Get the ball to those guys, put them in a position to succeed, in a position where they can catch and run and not just catch and, you know, go down. And suddenly this offense takes the next step forward. And he doesn't have to be, you know, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Obviously, it would help Penn State greatly if he was, but he doesn't have to be that offense to be really good. And I think getting back to where he was in that Auburn game would be really important for Penn State and taking it to the next level.
John, there's nothing anybody can do about it. You open up with Purdue. It's on the road, and it's a conference game to open the season. What is your thought on anybody opening with a conference game to start the season?
I like it because it means I get to watch a really fun game to start the year. But I would completely understand why a program would sort of not want that, right? And Sean Clifford was asked about, like, the preseason yesterday and, like, wouldn't he like to see a preseason model? And he, you know, basically said there are benefits to having it and not having it. I would be interested in seeing – I think for a team, if I were running a program, I would definitely not want a conference game early. I get wanting the test, wanting to know where you're at, and it is easier to recover from an early loss than a late loss. We've seen that before with college football playoff rankings and sort of the recency bias that kind of gets baked into that, into those rankings. But I think you still would rather sort of get your feet underneath you, find where your team is at, and then have that challenge, like that Auburn game, week three. I think that would be the ideal first big game, right? Getting the first two games under your belt and then going full steam ahead from there. Two maybe easier games to start the year non-conference, one better game non-conference, and then go into the conference schedule. I think fans probably enjoy it more. I, you know, as a reporter, enjoy it more because you get to sort of jump right into it and there are immediate ramifications right away. But I think if I were running the program, I would totally understand someone saying, like, hey, can we bump the brakes on doing this every year? Because now it's back-to-back years for Penn State on the road in the conference and, you know, a really tough environment at Camp Randall last year and now a blackout at Purdue this year. I'm sure it's not easy to prepare for that right off the jump, especially with a very young team.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, college football is just so different than anything else. Even in college basketball, you have a couple of scrimmages, you know.
Yep.
You know, Penn State will have two scrimmages this year before they even play a regular season game. College football doesn't have that. You just start. That's why people try to ease their way in. That way you have something under your belt.
Yep, and I, you know, I love secret scrimmage season in college basketball. It's one of my favorite times of the year. It's like the sign that they're coming. It's and we see it in the NFL with teams have like joint practices now rather than you know maybe the first string guys don't play in preseason games as much. The Eagles do this a bunch now under Nick Sirianni. I'd be curious to see if that ever makes its way to college football. I don't know about the logistics of it or even the rules of it, but I'd be curious to see if maybe programs try to go that route, especially if they have a difficult program that they're facing in like week one.
John, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Glad to come back on and looking forward to coming on again in the future.